You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from student pastor Josh Barnett.
Well, my name is Josh Barnett. I'm going to be sharing the word with us tonight. Obviously, I'm talking about God is love. I don't know if Pastor Tim is still here. He was earlier. But he's rubbing off on me a little bit. Oh, he's watching junior high. Okay. Which is fun. They're doing a Valentine's Day party. So Pastor Tim is going to be partying it up with the junior high over there tonight. but he's rubbing off on me a little bit. I got my yellow notepad with my sermon on it. Miss Terry, you might need to tell him that. You might need to send him a picture. Take a picture of it. Yeah. Hey, I got his yellow notepad and his podium tonight. So if you'll take a picture of that, he is influencing me quite a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. I used to use a laptop quite a bit to write my sermons out on, but lately I've just been sitting in my office with a pen and, you know, just letting the Holy Spirit just kind of take it away. So I'm excited tonight. Well, he's rubbed off on me that way, but he's never going to get me to wear cowboy boots. Never going to do cowboy boots. I know we live in Arkansas, but I can't do it. It's just not me. So I'm going to keep my skinny jeans and my tennis shoes. So they'll pray for me. Tonight, my assignment is to talk about God's love, and I'm really excited to share with it. I want to warn you as we get into this that I was trying not to cry as I was writing this. So if I get moved a little bit emotionally here tonight, I tried to rehearse it, tried to go over it without completely falling apart. And so hopefully I can do that. But I do talk about my wife and kids tonight, so I may lose it for a minute. So just hang with me, and we'll get through this. And honestly, I have no idea how do you talk about God's love in 25 or 30 minutes? We could spend all year on God's love. And so I don't really even know how to graze a topic like this in 30 minutes. And actually, I want to start kind of on that thought in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul's talking about God's love. He says, I pray that from this glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I love that. How wide, how long, how deep, how high the love of God is, that we can't even comprehend it. He said there that it surpasses our knowledge. And another translation said that it's too great for us to understand fully. And just to think about that his love is too great for us to even comprehend or even understand. And I think his love is so big that honestly, there's a reason that we're going to live with him forever, because it's going to take forever to get to know him. And it's going to take forever to get to know his love. That's how big his love is. That's how big his love is for us tonight. And so as best I can, I'm going to try to talk about it a little bit. I'm going to try to intellectually verbalize God's love. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how we get that into our minds, because it's just something that we're never going to be able to understand fully, especially in this life, in this lifetime. God's love is honestly something that you really can't understand, that you really honestly you have to experience it. You got to experience God's love. Just because we think that we understand something doesn't necessarily mean that we've experienced it. Just because you understand something doesn't mean that you've experienced it. And we can try to think that we have an understanding of God's love, but never really experienced God's love before. And I think God's love is something that you have to experience to even get a little bit of understanding. So my prayer tonight is that we would all experience God's love. That we'd all experience God's love to a degree. And from the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here, some of you have been saved twice as long as I've been alive, but I want you to understand that God's love is unlimited. that there is another degree of his love for you to encounter, that he constantly wants to pour out his love on his children, that he wants to take us from glory to glory, that it is it's too deep. We can't reach the bottom. It's too wide. We're never going to see the end of it. It's too high. We never can see the top. That's how big his love is tonight. And I'm praying that we all experience it tonight to a greater degree. There's always another level that it's deeper than we can possibly imagine. And it's different than any other kind of love. It's real love. It's true love. It's genuine love. It's not a love that we can experience from anybody else, from any other human being. And you know, the word love gets tossed around flippantly in our culture now. And so when we're talking about God, when we're talking about God's love, let's not carelessly pass it over. Don't carelessly pass over sitting here tonight, oh yeah, like I know God loves me. No, God loves us. Like, think about it for a second. He, God, the creator of the universe, loves us. That carries more weight to it than me saying, I love steak.
That's right?
Yep. Or I love Whataburger. I got any Whataburger fans in here? Man, I'm praying for one to come to Hot Springs one day. So they're in Fayetteville. I'm praying they come down this way. I was in OKC this past weekend, and they were everywhere, and I didn't get to stop at any of them. So, but it carries a lot more weight than I love my dog. And I know we've got some real dog lovers in here. You start talking about people's dogs, and it gets personal, like real fast. Like, you talk about my kid, but don't talk about my dog. Some people get intense with their dogs now. But it carries even more weight than me saying I love my kids. It carries even more weight than me saying I love my wife. That I love God, or that God loves me, is a different kind of love. It's so much greater than any other love that we can feel, understand, or experience. Now, obviously, God can bring us into greater revelation of his love through human relationships. You know, I've had very impactful moments of life. My life where I've felt the touch and heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit through human relationships, where he's taken me into a deeper level, revealed it to me. So like, for instance, the day that Sarah and I got married, we got married over here in a Christian Ministries chapel about 8.5 years ago now. And I remember the moment that she came around the corner, and I was, David Pate married us, and she started walking down the aisle. And I had never felt a love like that before. When I saw her walking down the aisle, and I began to cry. And in that moment, God just makes it worse, because he comes and he taps on me and he said, this is the way that I feel about you, but it's so much intensified. Woo! And I remember the moment that my firstborn son, Michael, was born. And I remember the doctor handing him to me, and I was just a mess. I was a wreck, and I was snotty, and it was bad, and I was really emotional, and I was like, I can't believe what I'm feeling right now. And then God decided to make it worse, and he came in, he tapped me on the shoulder, and he says, this is how I see you, but I love you 1,000 times more than you could ever love this boy. So he reveals love to us through human relationship, but it's so much greater than even the love that we can experience for our kids or for our spouses. It's so much greater. To really experience the love of God, listen, it's a truth that we have to move to our hearts. It's something that we can't even comprehend in our mind. We can't even understand it in our mind. You know, there's places that your heart can take you that your head can't. And the love of God has to make that 18-inch journey from your mind to your heart. The wisest man in the world, King Solomon in history, in Proverbs 3:5 says, trust not in your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but with all your heart, trust in the Lord. And so the wisest man in the world is saying that we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding, but with all of our hearts, not with our minds, with all of our hearts that we trust in him. And so Solomon's telling us there, your heart can take you into places with the Lord that your mind can't. And it's something that we've got to experience at our heart level and not our heads. Yes, we can understand certain things about it, but man, you can listen to this. You can experience something that you don't understand. You can experience something that you don't understand. And just because you understand something doesn't mean that you have experienced it. Y'all trekking with me there? You can experience something that you don't understand. And just because you understand something doesn't mean that you have experienced it. Just because you've read about or watched a couple fall in love and you understand what's happening doesn't mean that you have experienced it. But also, when I began to date my wife and fall in love with her, something was happening on the inside of me that I couldn't understand. Like, when this girl comes around, why can't I, why won't my mouth work? Why won't words come out? Why am I sweating so bad? You know what I'm saying? And there's just this violent storm going on the inside of me, and I can't, I'm experiencing something, but I can't explain it. I don't understand what is happening on the inside of me. So you can experience something without fully being able to put words to it, man. And that's what God's love is like. It's like you can't even put words to it. But at the same time, all the words in every language in the world don't do the love of God justice. Because it's so amazing. It's so deep and it's so intense. You know, I grew up reading about it and hearing about it and seeing other people experience it. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart in the back of a barbecue restaurant, and I experienced the true love of God for the first time. And he just wrecked me. He wrecked me with his love. And I was just a basket. Maybe I'm just emotional, but I was just a basket case on the floor. Because I was living like a crazy, duplicitous lifestyle. Like just one way at church and one way with this group of friends and one way with this person, another way with this person. And I was just so split and I was so messed up and I was so depressed and I was addicted and I was needy. And it was all this stuff. And the love of God came and met me and made me a puddle of tears and wrapped his arms around me and said, I love you. I love you. Man, he's so good. He's so good. And listen, in that moment, I got the most important revelation that I think any person can ever get. And that is that you are beloved. That is that we have a beloved identity. We have a beloved identity. The most important thing, a revelation a person can come to in our heart knowledge is having a beloved identity from our Father. Because until we settle the issue of who we are, we'll never settle any other issue. Until we settle the issue that we are beloved, we won't settle anything else, because that is the foundation on which everything else God wants to build on. And we've got to understand that we are beloved, that we have beloved identity before we do anything else. Five times in the Gospel of John, written by the Apostle John, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Five times refers to himself. He writing in third person, John, the disciple who Jesus loved. I used to read that and think, this dude is arrogant. Like, this dude is pride, not a disciple, the disciple who Jesus loves. What about the rest of them? And he would write John, the disciple who Jesus loves, then he'd list, Peter, then the rest of them, he'd just write all their names. But with his name, he always included that phrase there. And it was like he was saying, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. And I used to think, this dude is arrogant. I can't even believe God put this in the Bible. This is crazy. But then I realized that was how he identified himself, that he was rooted in that beloved identity. And I realized that later that we're all supposed to come to that realization that I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. You're his favorite. Every person in here, you're his favorite. He's God. He can have as many favorites as he wants. And when you come, when he adopts you into his family, you're his favorite kid. You're his favorite. His love calls me son. It calls you daughter. We're in his family. And you know, the theme of our church this year is making disciples. And we can't make disciples until we are actually rooted in his love. It's important that we are rooted in beloved identity before we start making disciples. You know, if you go, I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but if you go read 1 John chapter 4, it talks about that basically you don't need to start making disciples until you're rooted in love, because it's from his love that we love other people. Because we're rooted in his love, and then we then can love other people. But he says, if you've got hate in your heart towards another believer. And so it's important that we are rooted in this beloved identity before we do anything. You know, even Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was identified by the Father. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, comes up out of the water. It says the heavens rip open, they tear open. A voice speaks and said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus hadn't performed any miracles, hadn't raised Lazarus from the dead, hadn't fed 5,000, hadn't preached the Sermon on the Mount, hadn't done any teachings, basically has been living in obscurity up until this point. And this is when he comes onto the scene. Before he does anything, God says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This title, beloved, it can't be earned. It's given. It can't be earned, it's given. But we have got to receive it. We've got to receive it. Now, religion will tell you that you have to earn it. Religion will tell you that he'll loves you when you start doing things for him. Religion will tell you, listen, religion will tell you that he loves you more when you've been acting better. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Religion likes to make us think that we get closer to God because of our perfect scorecard. That's a lie. He loves us 100% all the time. 100% all the time. How do I know? Romans chapter 5. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was an enemy of God, he sent his son. He loves you 100% all the time. And listen, if you left here tonight and you went and got 5,000 people saved, he wouldn't love you any more than he does right now. Nothing you do will make him love you any more or make you love him any less. Or make you love him any. He loves you 100% all the time. All the time, he loves you 100%. Romans chapter 8 says that nothing can separate us from his love. That includes you. Nothing can separate us from his love. That includes the stupid things that I did or the stupid things that I'll do. Nothing can separate me from his love. That's how great his love is. But religion tries to make it all about what you do and what you don't do. And beloved identity is all about what he did and who he says you are. That's what beloved identity is all about. What he did, he said, it is finished. It's finished. And who he says you are. And listen, doesn't matter what you came in here from tonight. You can experience the love of God. Listen, some of us tonight, I think we got to let go of our past. I think some of us tonight are remembering things that he has no recollection of. I think some of us tonight are beating ourselves up, and every time we go into pray, we spend the first 10 minutes just talking about how horrible we are. And he just wants to tell you how awesome you are. He's waiting on you to get done beating yourself up so he can tell you how much he loves you. Luke 15, the prodigal son. Go and read it. He never called the son prodigal. The father never called the son prodigal. Religion did. You can't even find the word prodigal in there. Religion calls the son prodigal, but the father never called the son prodigal. He only called him my son. When the son came running back, the father ran and met him. He starts coming up with his story about how awful he is and how he hopes his dad will take it back, and his dad just ignores it, puts his robe on him. Gets a ring, says, man, kill the calf. We're throwing a party. My son's back. That's how he treats all of us. Well, I don't know about this. His love's scandalous, man. I don't know what to tell you. His love is scandalous. It's not fair. His love isn't fair. His grace isn't fair. There's something that we ask our students all the time, and I pick it up from David because he says it all the time. He always says, does that make sense? Does that make sense? And I think, when I think about this, when I was writing this tonight, does that make sense? No, it doesn't, God. Me? Really? Me? It doesn't make sense. It definitely ain't fair because I don't deserve it. But 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And it's his universe, so he gets to define what love is. In Romans chapter 2, Paul says, don't you know that it's the goodness of God that's supposed to lead men to repentance? It's the goodness of God that's supposed to lead men to repentance? I got a picture here that I want to show you real quick. This is how he defines love. That's our Valentine's Day card. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. Man, I just think about him. I know obviously it was hard for Jesus, I can't imagine, but I think about how hard it was for his father. to watch us do that to his son. Man, how great his love is for us. Because being a dad, man, I would do that 1,000 times over before I let anybody touch my kids. Listen, Brandon's our worship pastor. He's sitting back there. He's the bald guy with the beard back there. I love Brandon. Brandon's my best friend. I love that guy to death. I would take a bullet for that dude. But if it becomes between Brandon and my son, I'm sorry, Brandon. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And I'm going to start closing tonight. I don't know if Arturo and Sierra were going to come out and sing a song. But obviously, I could do a whole series on God's love, and I know I didn't even touch a whole lot tonight. I know we could go super deep into this, but it's really something that you've got to experience personally. And listen, you're gonna experience it personally by getting close to him, by positioning yourself at his feet and stop beating yourself up and let him love you. I think one of the biggest things that we need to do is get the Father revelation of God in our own life. Listen, Jesus did a lot more than just die on the cross. He did a lot more than just die on the cross. He spent 3 years, 3 years revealing the heart of the Father for us. And I think that story I referred to earlier, Luke 15, is one of the most powerful things that he did in revealing the heart of the Father. Because Jesus himself, he said, I don't do anything that I haven't seen the Father do. I don't say anything that I haven't heard the Father say. Everything that he did was from the Father. And he spent 3 years revealing to us that revelation that God is our Father. And many times we see him as judge instead of Father. And many times many people live like, for God so hated the world that he murdered his only begotten Son. But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that I might come the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He sees me in the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. He put his robe of righteousness on me. He sent his son so that we could be adopted into his family. He calls us beloved. He calls us child. He calls us son. He calls us daughter. He calls us friend. I want to end with a story, and then I'm going to let them sing a song behind me. And my youth have probably heard me tell this story a lot. And if you've heard it before, just bear with me. My son Micah, he's 5 years old now, and him and Judah actually just finished a basketball league for the first time, and it was hilarious. It was really comical. I think Judah's 3; he just danced the whole time. last summer, Micah was 4 or 5 years old, and he was playing t-ball. Which, if you've ever seen t-ball, it's pretty comical too. It's nobody really wins. You just kind of hit a ball and you don't really strike out. And you just kind of run around the bases. I don't think we got one out the whole year. But I remember the first game, Micah, he would hit the ball and he would run and he'd go to a base and he kept looking over at me and Sarah, like outside of the gate. He kept looking over to make sure that we were watching him. And then I remember he came running to home plate, and he was running, and then he kind of did this thing right here, kind of slowed down and was like looking to make sure that I was watching. And he came over after the game, and I scooped him up, was giving him a hug, and he said, Dad, I scored 2 times. And I said, I know, buddy, that was awesome. And he said, Dad, are you so proud of me? And I said, buddy, I'm so proud of you. But not because of you scoring. I'm proud that you're my son. And I don't care how you did in that game. I'm always going to be proud of you because you're my son. That's God's love. That's God's love. That's your father's heart cry over you tonight. from the youngest to the oldest in here, that's our father's heart cries, that you're my son, you're my daughter. And man, I look at my kids all the time. It's so crazy seeing your kids. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Just watching my kids and thinking, I helped make these things. And and looking at them and seeing like your resemblance in them. And we're the only thing that God created in His image. He created us in His very image. And looking at my kids and feeling this and having this thought of, I've never met anybody like these kids before. I know that's kind of strange, but I look at my son and I always think that I've never met anybody like you. And that's the way that God feels about this. He looks at us and goes, I never have met anybody like you before. He created us unique, and He designed us to have a unique, individual, intimate relationship with Him. And we're His favorite kid. We're His favorite kid. It's not a prideful thing. It's not a haughty thing. It's a beloved identity thing, that I'm His favorite. God is beaming over you. He's actually fascinated with us. I don't know why. It's crazy. It's weird. But He's actually fascinated with us. Zephaniah 3:17 says that He sings songs of salvation over us. That while we sing to Him, He's singing back to us. That is crazy to me. That blows my mind. But He is crazy about us. He's crazy about us. And I want them to sing this song. And I just want us to take a moment. We got 10 minutes left here. And I just want us to take a moment to focus on the Lord, to focus on His love and how amazing and how incredible it is. And listen, I know that there are people in this room that are hurt. I know that there's people in this room that are struggling. I know there's people in this room that are trying to overcome loss, that are trying to overcome their temptation, that they're looking for breakthrough. But I want you to know tonight that no matter what, God is crazy in love with you. He's crazy about you. And listen, don't blame God for things that the devil did. Don't blame God for the things that the devil did. And know this tonight. We looked at that picture earlier. Know this. God doesn't have to do anything else to prove that He loves us. He's already done it all, man.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.